All right, let's open our Bibles and turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. The Lord with two angels, Jehovah, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has appeared to Abraham, the scripture says, in the plains of Mamre. And the Lord and these two angels have appeared in the form of men. That's what the scripture said. And Abraham, as a gracious servant of the Master, all of this we looked at last week and beheld all of the spiritual meanings of these things. But what he did was he provided those things that were not only needful for these heavenly guests as men. I'm talking about food. Now these are angels. This is the Lord. But they've taken on the form of men. And they're eating as men would eat. And they're talking with Abraham. And Abraham gives them these different articles of food, a morsel of bread, he gets some water, he kills a calf. And we looked at how all those things pictured the Lord himself and his mediatorial office. And now we're going to continue. They've eaten. Abraham told them to eat. He said in verse 4, he said, I'm going to get some water. I'm going to wash your feet. Then you rest yourselves under the tree. And we looked at the beauty of that precious passage there. And now in verses 9 and 10, we'll go to verse 15. But 9 and 10 says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, the first thing that I want us to behold is the mercy of the Lord to reveal his knowledge of Sarah. He knew her. He knew her name. He knew her relationship to Abraham. And he spoke with authority concerning his will, the Lord's will, for her and Abraham and his mercy and purpose to return. Now here's what he said. He asked Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? Abraham told him, behold, in the tent. And listen to what the Lord said. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now, when we speak, you know, the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle James to give us some information how we're to speak. When we speak about things, matters and stuff, James chapter 4, verses 13-15 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, we need to be real careful how we talk. We talk sometimes like things are just certain. You know, I'm going to do this, that, or the other. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to invest in this. And this is what I'm going to do. And this next year, by this time next year, this way it's going to be. And the Lord said, don't talk like that. But rather, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we're going to do that. You don't know if you're going to be dead tomorrow. What is your life? It's a vapor. But listen how the Lord spoke. He said, I will return next year. And Sarah will have. And concerning the Lord speaking, He who knows the end from the beginning, because He's ordained it. All things, the Scripture says, were finished before the foundation of the world. You know what happened today? Exactly what the Lord purposed. That's what happened today. He worketh all things, the Scripture says, after the counsel of His own will. So here, He says, I'm going to come. I'm coming back this next year, and without fail, Sarah's going to have a son. And I want you to take notice, latter part of verse 10. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. She heard Fred the Lord speak. She heard it. She heard what the Lord said. Now, is this not the precious promise of the Lord to all His sheep? The Lord said in John 10:27, My sheep hear My voice. I told you many times, you know, I've never heard God speak with this ear. I never have. I know I've had people tell me, say, well, the Lord spoke to me as if, Mitch, they heard Him. They heard Him. I've never heard the Lord verbally speak like I heard some of you speak tonight. But I'll tell you what, the sheep of God, the Lord said, My sheep hear My voice. And so therefore it's so. I know that. But I tell you, knowing that they have hearing ears, and seeing eyes, and that's talking spiritually, you know that. And what they do is when they hear the voice of the Lord, the shepherd, they recognize it. They recognize it when it's preached. When they hear of the sovereignty of Christ, the sovereignty of God. God said, I will and you shall. They said, you know what, that's the way my Lord speaks. He speaks with authority. They recognize it. They recognize it as it's in agreement. When I'm preaching, you know that the Scripture says, Paul the Apostle says, we beseech you in Christ's stead. Meaning if the Lord Himself were standing here speaking, this is what He would say. That's what Paul was saying. We beseech you in Christ's stead for the sake of Christ. In the authority of Christ, saying what He said. And this is the only thing that I have any authority to do, is to say what the Lord says. And so, the sheep hear His voice, they recognize it, as they hear the Scriptures expounded, as the Scriptures reveal Him to be. They hear His voice in blessed communion in prayer. Someone says, I don't understand what you're talking about. I can't explain it. But I can tell you in communion with prayer, when the Lord's people speak to Him, there's communion there. That's the only way I know how to say it. They hear the voice of Him who the Scripture reveals loved them everlastingly and died for the sheep and now lives to intercede for them. He said, My sheep hear My voice. I know them. He knows them as willing but weak servants. He said, without Me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Well, what does that mean? It means you can do nothing. You can't even breathe without Him. That was His air you just breathed. That's His. This is the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness there. He said, "I know them." They recognize their frailty, and they follow me. They follow Him respectfully, believing Him, trusting, and halting, like Jacob we spoke of last Sunday, halting after the Lord touched the hollow of His thigh. He limped for the rest of his life as a reminder. God had blessed him. That's what He said. Blessed me. He did. He blessed him. Revealed Himself to him and showed Jacob what he was. Well, in verses 11 and 12, it says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord Abraham, being old also." Now, right here, we're going to behold a great struggle between the old man and the new man. You know, in every believer, there's two people. Two, old man, new man. Nothing ever changes in that old man. And she knew something. Naturally, she knew something. Here's what she knew. I'm old. And my husband's old. Abraham was 99 years old. She was 90. It was past the time for her to naturally have children. And she heard the Lord. She's in the tent. But she heard Him speaking to her husband. And she heard what He said. I'm coming back next year and Sarah's going to have a son. By you, Abraham. And the Scripture said she laughed in her heart. Now that word laughed, I looked it up again. It does mean this. It means to either laugh with merriment or to laugh with scorn. And the only indication of the attitude of her laughter is from the words of the Lord. Somebody say, "Well, she laughed and meant this." Well, all I know is what the Lord said about it, and so I'll leave it right there. But if when the Lord in the next few verses that we're going to look at in just a second, but it was obviously a laughter of doubt. Can this be? My Lord's old. I mean, at least doubt, and it appears as though. Mixed with that doubt was something that the Scripture later reveals in Hebrews 11:11 that was a work of grace found in her also. Hebrews 11:11 says, now this is what the Scripture says in the New Testament. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged, she counted him, the Lord, faithful, who had promised. Now, you know, you read that account right there, and that doesn't seem to be exactly the way it was as recorded in the book of Genesis. But we're looking at two different people. Old man, new man. And you that believe know exactly what I'm talking about. Sin, we sing that song by John Newton, "'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Surely, could they be worse who have never heard His name?" I'm telling you, sin is mixed with all we do. And we know it. We struggle with it. But whatever Sarah's attitude was concerning her laughing, the Lord knew. The Lord knew. And behold His tender mercy to this needy sinner. He knew. But listen, and this is mercy right here. Verses 13-15. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And then the Lord, continuing to speak to Abraham, said, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, I want you to consider the omniscience, the all-knowing, of the Lord. She laughed within herself, and she thought these were the words that she thought. Verse 12, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord, in verse 13, said, he knew exactly what she thought, and he gave the exact tense and exactly what she thought. This is exactly what she thought. 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? The Lord said she would. And she said, is that for sure when I'm old? He knew exactly what she thought and quoted when she laughed within herself. The Scripture says in Psalm 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. But while her seeming doubt was chargeable, how do you know it was chargeable? Because the Lord said it was. He said, no, you did laugh. No, you said you didn't, but you did. Yeah, you did. Though it was chargeable, as our doubts are too. I mean, let's don't start getting down on Sarah, saying, I can't believe the Lord was sitting there right there talking to her and she doubted. Now, do we not do the same thing? I mean, the Lord knew. And he asked, he said to Abraham concerning Sarah, is anything, any word, any matter too hard for the Lord? Here the Almighty God that had revealed himself unto Abraham, the one before whom Abraham fell on his face, the one that Job confessed in Job 42:2, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He's known every thought we've had tonight. We're not fooling him. Everything has gone through our mind. All of the, you know, we get off somewhere tomorrow. Something happened yesterday. He knows. He knows. He knows. Well, the Lord, the Scripture says in Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens, and he's done whatsoever he hath pleased. Speaking of his omniscience. All knowing. He hears. He hears. You know, while he was in Capernaum, this was recorded, you don't have to turn there. It was in Mark 2. And while the Lord was in Capernaum, there was a man, you remember, that was sick of the palsy, and he was lowered down through the rooftop. They took some of the shingles off. They lowered him down the rooftop, right into the presence of the Lord. And the Scripture says, and when the Lord saw their faith, now obviously, the man that was sick and those that carried him, says he saw their faith. And the Lord said to the man that was sick of the palsy, he said, Mark 2:5, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now the Scripture, for the sake of time, you can go back and read this, but I can tell you what it was saying. It said that there were some scribes there, and they, seeing and hearing what the Lord said, they reasoned in their hearts that the Lord had blasphemed. They heard what he said. He said to the man sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they reasoned in their heart, And they said, this man's a blasphemer. This is their reasoning. He said that. Only God can forgive sin. And he made that statement, they're saying in their hearts. He made that statement because he knew good and well it couldn't be proved. Who's going to doubt what he's saying? Because who can prove that somebody's sins are forgiven? That's what they reasoned in their hearts, that he blasphemed, that he couldn't, you can't prove that. But the scripture says that the Lord, knowing their evil thoughts, asked them this. He said, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? And what he did was he just proved that he had the power not only to hear what they said in their hearts, but also he's got the power to heal the sick and to forgive sin, and therefore he did that very thing. He said, to show you that I have not only the power to forgive sin, but also to heal. He said to the man, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. That leper's physical healing was a picture and a type of the Lord that speaks, and spiritual healing of his soul takes place. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, how gracious the Lord was to Sarah, the vessel of his mercy. How kind was his gentle rebuke. Lord willing, this Sunday I'm going to preach out of this Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful are the wounds of a friend. The Lord was merciful to her. He rebuked her mercifully. She was one of his own, and he corrected her. He corrected her. He wasn't silent to her. Scripture says, David speaking unto thee, will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. I pray God corrects me. I need corrected. I'm wrong. I err. The scripture says concerning correcting whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So the Lord mercifully dealt with Abraham and Sarah. But before I leave this passage of scripture for this evening, I want to make a couple of comments on this passage, and I'm going to just very quickly make them. And I want us to consider, before I just told you exactly what happened in this passage of Scripture. But there was something in this passage that was so blessedly wonderful to me. I can't help but share it with you. Precious, precious. Here's the glorious gospel of God's grace. I want you to just quickly notice from the first words of our passage, and consider Sarah now to be a picture. Look at Sarah as a picture of the total bride of Christ. There's Sarah. She's the wife of Abraham, but you look at Sarah as a picture of the whole bride of Christ, the whole church herself. And you look at Abraham as a type and a picture of our Lord, the great mediator. Spirit of God moved on Paul to write to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, what is a mediator? What is that? Mediator is that one that stands for two parties and can touch both parties and mediate between them for the reconciliation, for the making of peace. Peace. He can mediate. Got two people and they're at odds. They're going to come, they're going to mediate. And both parties respect him. That's a mediator. It's one mediator. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I can tell you this, he can stand. He stands on level ground, if I can say that, as God. He's one with the Father, for he is God. He's God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And he's one with us, his people, for he was made flesh. He's a man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So there's one mediator between God and man. It's the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you listen. I'm going to just make this simple, short, but I want to make it simple, Lord willing. God Almighty deals with His people in one person, one man. God Almighty deals with His people in one man. And is the man Christ Jesus. God deals with all of His elect in one. He's the only man that ever pleased God. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You and I have never pleased God in ourselves. So, we're done. We're done. But concerning Him, He's God and He's man. He's totally God and totally man. And He's the man that has borne the guilt of His people. And He satisfied our debt before God by shedding of His own blood. He bore all of the debt of all of God's people, all of God's elect. He bore all of them. I can't even enter into that. I couldn't even enter in, kneel to Him bearing all of mine. The depth of what I've done, oh. I told you before, you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. But that He's borne all the debt. And He's put away all their sin. Being God, according to God's everlasting covenant, He came into this world and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin. Scripture says, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. So Christ Jesus, the mediator, is the one to whom Jehovah speaks on behalf of His people, and He's the one who answers to God for His people. So when we talk to the Lord, God of heaven, the Father, who do we go through? The mediator. Mediator. I'll show you this in closing just a second. So I want you to notice back in verse 9 where we started. When the question was asked of Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? Who was the Lord, who was He speaking of? Sarah. Who's Sarah? Abraham's wife. Where is Sarah thy wife? Abraham spoke on her behalf to Abraham as the mediator. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did He say? He said, behold, she's in the tent. The Father speaks to the Son, the mediator. Where are the children? They're in the tent. They're in this temporary dwelling. They're in the world, but they're not of it. Keep them. Keep them. Keep them by your power. The Father deals with us through a mediator. Now listen, look here, verse 10 again. The Lord spoke of Sarah, But he said it to Abraham in verse 10. He said to Abraham, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. The Lord spoke to the mediator. He spoke to Abraham. The Lord, she was in the tent. You think the Lord knew she was in the tent? He knew she was in the tent. He spoke to the mediator. And Sarah heard the promise, and she laughed within herself. Oh, again, brethren, have we ever heard these precious promises and blessings of God? Have we ever doubted? Have we ever laughed? Now answer honestly. Yeah, we have. And then consider that the Lord again dealt with Abraham concerning her laughter. Look at verse 13. The Lord knew that she laughed. He knew what she said in her heart. Who did he talk to about it? Abraham. Picture of the Lord, the mediator. And the Lord said unto Abraham, verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? And he continued, speaking to Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. Behold the mercy of God to deal with Sarah through Abraham. A picture and type that God Almighty would deal with us through the mediator, the one that was made flesh, the one that bore our guilt, the one that loved us, the one that betrothed himself to us, the one that ever liveth to make intercession for us, the one that's robed us in his righteousness, was made sin for us, that loved us. I was telling you about whenever we try to pray. What does the Spirit of God say about us being able to pray? He said, we don't even know what to pray for. I don't know what to pray for. I've had people say, well, pray for me. I'll try. I'll tell them that. I'll try. I think they think I'm just trying to blow it off or something. I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to ask. The Lord said that. I love this passage of Scripture. Now, when I say that it's Revelation chapter 8, I'm pretty done. Revelation chapter 8, whenever we try to pray. Now, this is the way it is. I said when the Father speaks to the people, He speaks through the mediator, the one in whom He's well pleased. When we speak to the Father, let me tell you what's actually happening. I've read this to you, Revelation 8, verses 1 to 4. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came. Here's a picture of the Lord himself. This is the angel of the covenant. Came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the mediator. That he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, that is the incense of his merit, the incense of his holiness, the incense of his glory and righteousness, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I don't know what to say, but he does. He knows what to say. This is what I pray, Kevin. Lord, would you tell the Father what I don't know how to say? I don't know what to say. Would you speak for me? Speak on my behalf. Speak to the Lord. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Whenever the Lord asked Abraham, where's Sarah, your wife? In the tent. I'm going to come back. You're going to have a son. She laughed. The Lord asked Abraham, why'd your wife laugh? Why did your wife laugh in her heart? You think Abraham felt that? You think he felt her burden? You think he felt that? If my wife's hurting, I feel it. I know it. I feel it. She hurts, I hurt. We hurt, the Lord knows it. He's touched. He's able to sympathize with His people. He was tempted, the Scripture said. He was tried in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Isaiah 53:4, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And the Lord, in closing, said, He did say something to Sarah, personally. She verbalized, I didn't laugh. And the Lord said to her, nay, but thou didst laugh. Yeah, you did. Like Nathan came to David when David had taken Bathsheba. Nathan came to him, he said, you're the man. You're the man. But the Lord's put away your guilt. We, in agreement with the Lord, we confess what we are. The Lord told her, yeah, you laughed. Yes, you did. Yeah, Marvin, you sinned. Yes, you have. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. Listen to this last verse, 1 John 1:9. This is why. Because He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why is that? Because He dealt with the mediator already on it. He dealt with the mediator, who is also the Redeemer, who is also the Lamb of God, who is also our Savior. He's also our husband, our King, God's prophet to us. Christ is all and in all. I pray that the Lord bless this to our hearts for His glory and our good. Amen. Okay, Gary.